Blog Talk Radio.
A word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary in doing well, for in due season you're gonna reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary in doing well, for in due season you're gonna reap. Now. Say, uh-huh. Oh yeah.
Welcome to our internet program. I'm your host, Minister Joel Lewis, and you're listening to Free on the Inside. We have a very special edition today. We're down at Dallas Life Foundation. Dallas Life Foundation is a homeless shelter for men, women, and families. They're located on the southern part of Dallas near downtown Dallas. And so we're down here once a year. This is our ninth year, and we're so happy to be a part of this ministry. You know, our ministry is called Free on the Inside, JJPS. And that says for the jail, the juvenile, the prison, and the street. This is the street portion of the ministry. Yeah, you too could be a part of what we're doing. We invite you to come on down, 1100 KD Street, and that's CADIZ, and that's in Dallas, Texas. The zip code is 75215. You too can make your way down. We have our volunteers in the back. They're fixing up a fabulous lunch. And so we're excited about what God is doing, excited about how God has continued to use this ministry. And I am a member of Shady Grove Baptist Church up under the pastoralship of Pastor Michael Morgan. And so we want to honor our pastor this morning for allowing us to come down here once again. And, you know, our deal is called Feeding the Multitude. And I am so excited about that because, you know what, we're a small church. We don't have very much money, but yet we do this year after year. And God blesses us. He blesses us. And this year, yeah, we added something different to the ministry. This year, we got some ice cream with ice cream cones for our residents. So we thank God for that there, you know. And so we want to put a smile on their face, not only physically but spiritually. So we thank God for this opportunity to take care of his business. And so without any further delay, I'd like to give out this contact number. That number is 310-982-4126. Again, that calling number is 310-982-4126. You two can call in and listen to the program, or you can call in and voice your opinion. Dallas Life has been gracious enough to allow us to use one of their offices, so we moved all our audio equipment into their office, and now we're broadcasting on site. We're sitting up here in a nice, beautiful cubicle, well lit, a lot of electronic equipment around, and I feel like I'm at home. And I want you to feel like you're at home also. And so until we get some guests and stuff together, we're going to play some excerpts of some past shows there. And one of my favorite shows is Mrs. Sweeney telling us about the Dallas Life Foundation. So what we're going to do, we're going to pull that up, allow him to share the Life Foundation in his own words. Down here today at Dallas Life Foundation, they do it every year. It so happens that it falls on the time that we're down here serving lunch. And they do a graduation honor lunch where they honor the present graduates and also the past graduates. And you know, and they have a chef and they cook them a very special meal and they have a nice program. So as soon as they release them in that city, I'd like to get some of them over here and allow them to share their own experience about Dallas Life and how it helped change your life. And you know, as I share with that, help change your life in Jesus. I love that. I love that because it was somebody that told me about the love of God. It was somebody that shared Christ with me. You know, I was messed up on the floor. I was gone. I wasn't who I am today, let me put it like that. But God didn't ever give up on me. He sent people in my life to encourage me, to talk to me, to let me know that he wasn't through with me yet. And that's a powerful thing, to know that God isn't finished with you. You know, I do jail ministry. I do prison ministry. And occasionally I share with the young men out of the book of Mark, the 11th chapter, I believe, is where Mark stood up and says that, you know, Jesus sent his disciples. He sent a disciple in and sent his disciple down to a village to pick up a donkey. And the donkey was tied up. And that was us. We were tied up. And we were tied up. And guess what? God sent that donkey in to say, loose him and let him go. And so, you know, that's what ministry does. It loots you from all the things that tells you how to. It loots you, allow you to be all you to be in Christ Jesus. It loots you and lets you know that God isn't through with you yet. And I have one of my co-laborers in the ministry. He's going to come out here in a few minutes, and he's going to share with us what does says the Lord in his life. This young man has volunteered with us down at the jail ministry, and he's been a part of what we're doing for quite a while. And so I am so happy to have him on. And so we're looking forward to him sharing his take on it. And so he's with us in the jail ministry, he's with us in the juvenile, and now he's down here with us at Dallas Life. And that's a great thing, man. Amen. He's giving back. He's more than just talking about it. He's being about it. He's a very active part of our ministry. I will feel on the inside, JJPS ministry. Now I'm shaking the hand of Brother Willie Burke. And Willie Burke is going to come on and say hello and tell us about how God has been raising him up. Brother Willie has got a testimony, and he's going to take time out to share it with us. Good morning, Brother Burke.
Good morning. How is everyone doing today? Hey, amen. I am truly grateful for being here today. We're out here getting prepared to serve up to Dallas Life. And I tell you, it's a wonderful experience. I decided to come out today. We do this annually. And Minister Joel is extended the opportunity for me to come up, and I want to come in and render my services to the people, the men and women and children that reside here at the Dallas Life Foundation. And it truly is a wonderful thing that God has allowed us to do, to be a blessing to give back, or to let them know that someone is caring. And I tell you, when I sit back and I look around, you know, and so many times we in ministry have the opportunity to do something and really it goes unspoken or whatever it is, but you know, this radio allows us the opportunity to showcase what God has allowed us to do, and I am very grateful. What we are doing out here today, I thank God for my prayers and what God has allowed me to do. Basically, putting his life in turning the different outreach ministries that he's involved in. And, my name is Deacon Little Best. I'm just a co-laborer in the gospel, amen. And I appreciate the opportunity to allow me and everyone, to sit back and continue to pray for us and God will continue to be the blessing and the vision in our life. And I have to be able to carry the gospel out. We should be able to reach those souls that are still lost. We are very blessed for this. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, now, Brother Willie. Amen. Now, Brother Willie, now you've been doing this with me for quite a while, brother. But, you know, you could be doing other things. What allowed you to come out here this morning? You gave up your free time, and I talked you proud of coming out here, and you got other things to do. But yet, you found it in your heart to come out here. You heard the boss that said, go, and you went, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so tell me about that, brother.
What it is that, you had mentioned to me about it. I knew it was coming up. And I was actually on my way home last night, and I knew it was about the radio coming on, and so something just told me today, read the text thoroughly, and I did, and regardless of what I had, I wanted to make sure that I came out to be a part of this show, because we have to be mindful and realize the things and the opportunities that God has allowed us to do. You know, God gives us gifts. Talent. We can't just let it go dormant, but we know about the rewards that happen to those that he had gave two talents, one he had gave one talent, one he had gave five talents. But the one that had two talents and the one that had five talents, they went and doubled their talent.
Amen.
The one that had only one, he feel like, hey, you know, I only got one thing, but whatever God has allowed you and bless your hand to do, it doesn't make a difference whether it's one or whether it's five. You know, the message from the story is that you should take whatever it is God has allowed you to do and use it and give it glory and honor to him and let him do the increase in it. And I just thank God this morning that he has allowed me to be able to put some gloves on my hands to be able to come out here and to share, man. I just want to, that's what we're here for today. And I'm just grateful, man, that God touched my heart to come out here because, see, I was once too. In a place in my life to where I was sitting here and wondering, didn't know whether I was going or coming, but God have touched someone's heart like yourself. And, you know, we go way back, and you know, you was ministering to me when I was once in this position, you know, and so, but God delivered me, you know, and so it takes people and soldiers, I say, like yourself and what we are doing, laboring together on. To open the doors and a segue for others to let them know that God is the way, man. Christ is the way, man. And I believe that if we can just hearken our hearts unto him, that we will be able to see the fat of the land, you know, is what he's allowed us to do, man. And in time, man, is that, you know, sometimes some things take a little time, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. But one thing I've learned in this walk with Christ, if you stay consistent with him, he'll stay consistent with you. And you'll find out one day that his blessing will come and overtake you, and you won't have room enough to receive it. And it's one thing I'm going to share, and I'm going to be quiet, is that you are always safe when you go down there and minister. It's something that you say that has stuck with me. You say, don't get so overtaken with the blessings of God until you forget about the people of God.
Woo! That's awesome,
you know?
Brother.
And so,
say that again, Brother Willie. I feel that.
Don't get overtaken with the blessings of God until you start forgetting about the people of God.
Oh.
And so, I think sometimes we in ministry, what we do is that once God has began the principle, we start working the principle that God has set forth. You know, it's automatic. You cannot do the principle and not receive the blessing.
Yes.
You know, it's all in the same package. But I think sometimes when we miss the mark at, when the blessings start happening, the favors start happening in our life, the people that have helped us get to where we're at to be able to see those things, we begin to put them on the back burner or whatever. And then that's when I think the epitome of what it is we don't want to happen.
Yes.
You know, but I thank God that I've been knowing you for over 10 years now. And I've seen that you got your hands on a lot of things, brother. But I thank God for you being an example to me, to show me that you can go and be successful in ministry you know, especially outreach and stay humble. You know, don't forget the people that labor among you, labor beside you, because it's them that God allows favor in their life as well to be able to come in and make sure that the vision that you have, what He has given you, is being carried out. Because God said in His word, a man is no island to himself.
Yes.
So we see that. And so what I say and gather out of that is that, you know, it doesn't make a difference. What ideas or what vision you have, you cannot carry it out by yourself.
Ooh,
it takes a group of people. And I thank God you have allowed me, brother, to be one of those people that is surrounding you and that is able to make sure that the vision that you have, God has given you, is going forth. And I'm grateful.
God bless you, Willie. I'm so grateful for you also. Now, Brother Willie, you know, tomorrow we go downtown. And I know that, you know, every time we go down there, God show himself mighty. Do you have any special words to encourage the men, not only downtown, but ones that might be listening that's far off, that we may never see? What words of encouragement would you have for them in such a time as this?
Well, this is a time, a transitioning part, you know, of course, in the natural, of course, you know, school just started. And stuff, and so for the last 3 months, you know, we kind of been at ease, but now it's time to go back to work in every area of our life. You know, the little ones is going back. We gotta start with the school lessons and all this here, trying to make sure they get the homework. What you saying, brother? What has that got to do with ministry or encouraging anyone? Well, just like we have to sit back now and put our thinking caps on to help our young people, you know, during this time of transitioning in their life where they're going back to try to get more that they have that is being offered to them for the next phase of their life. Well, likewise, in the kingdom of God, you know, there's a transitioning going on as well. And I just want to say to you, brothers and even sisters out there, that may be going through a transitioning part of your life, is that what you have to do is that you have to sit back and, first of all, acknowledge where you're at and know that you're in transition, because it's kind of difficult to pray about something that you don't even know what you're praying about. And, you know, and God says in His word, you know, submit our plans unto Him. You know, He want to know specific things that you have. You know, we got to get out of this just whatever. No, you know, God is a strategic God. God is a precise God. God want to cater to what it is that you are in need of. Because whatever, you know, you could be giving me something, or I could be asking for something that doesn't concern me. It could be concerning my brother. And seeing if I don't have persistence on it, then that way I may be going down the wrong road. But what I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, on today is that, you know, as you know, in spite of whatever situation you're in, because free on the inside is what it is. And sometimes in our point of transition, you know, when we're on the inside, because I've been there and done that, is that we lose focus sometimes on what it is. Lord, what is it that you have me to do? What is it that you're trying to show me? And it's all right to ask God, you know, for guidance and direction. And in our life, sometimes I think we, especially being men, you know, sometimes we get to the place we don't want people to know that we are lost, so we don't know have a sense of direction, because that seems like a form of weakness or whatever. But I come to tell you and encourage you today, gentlemen and ladies too, that you know, it's all right to seek God, you know, for guidance or whatever it is that you may need in your life, because transitioning is something that we do. We transition from one place to another place. And but in order to get to the place that you're going, you know, in order for me to leave Dallas, Texas, and get to Los Angeles, California, I got to know the direction that I'm going in. And that's what I'm trying to say today. Sometimes, you know, where we're going, we got to know what direction we're going in. And so, and that comes through prayer and supplication. You know, when we sit down here, when we go to God in our private time, that we need to ask God, look here, God, put people in my life that can help me open my eyes to the vision and things that you have for me. And when people come in and put and speak things in your life, you know, you have to be receptive to receive those things as well.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Willie. Hey, man, I'm going to release you from this, but don't go far. You know, I'm going to need your bars again, okay? God bless you. Give it up, man. Give it up. Man, I wish we could see this picture here. I tell you what, God's going to elevate it. We're going to be in the studio when we can see this here. This love thing going on. Godly love. And my past understanding. All right, thank you, Brother Willie, for what you do. God bless you. Now, I have a friend of mine. I'm calling him a friend. We just met some time ago, but I sold him. Knit it together. And guess what? He's down here at Dallas Life Foundation. He could be at home with his family. It's a Saturday morning. It's like it's breakfast time. Most people are out having breakfast with their family. But yet, he gave up his time and encouraged his family to follow him as he followed Christ Jesus. I'd like to just share this time on our internet program, Free on the Inside, JJTS. And the S stands for street. This is street ministry we're doing. And regardless of what kind of men that we see here are broken, they're lost. They'll go, they're in search of something. And maybe by your smile, by your show of love, they found it. Maybe what you're doing here helped change a life.
Amen.
Brother Tim, talk to me.
Good morning. I just thank, first of all, God for my great salvation, the great salvation that he saved me with. And I thank him for allowing me to be a part of a great ministry called Victory Outreach that is worldwide. And also for meeting an awesome man of God, Pastor Joel Lewis. And he brought me in, and just I'm just learning so much. His spirit is just so just like the spirit of Christ. He has so much love for people. I'm here today. I really don't have a whole lot of words of wisdom. I just know that God has done so much in my life and has brought me from such a far place to where he's got me now. And I thank God for that. So anytime I can make myself available to God and to be used, that's why I love to do it, because I know when I was in the world, when I was lost in sin, Satan used me like a dirty dish rag. I did everything. There wasn't nothing I wouldn't do, and I did it all. And I thank God today that he has transformed my life. So every time I get the opportunity to do something, I'm there on the spot. And I remember in the scriptures, Jesus asked Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yeah, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. And that's why I'm here today. That's why we came down today to help, to feed the sheep, because I love Jesus.
Yeah.
I love Jesus so much, and I'm so thankful for what he's done for me. And I'm here to feed, to clean a toilet, to empty a trash can, whatever I can be, whatever I need, whatever they need for me to do, that's what we're here for. And we just thank God for his awesomeness. He's so great, and he's wonderful. And if you have love in your heart for Jesus, you'll make yourself available, because it doesn't matter. No task is too big or too small for Jesus. And just thank God that he's allowed us to come down to Dallas Life Foundation today and be a part of this feeding, because there was a time when I was just lost, and I was out there, and somebody came up to me and administered to me when I was out there lost and bound on drugs. They gave me something to eat. They gave me a pair of socks. I think I probably had those socks on for so long, those shoes on for so long, and that fresh pair of socks, it meant so much to me. So I hope just by us being down here today that it means something to somebody that's going to come in and eat today, you know. And I pray that that the God uses putting our hand to the plow for him, you know, and he gets all the honor and all the glory. And we just, for Victory Hours, we thank Pastor Joel and Free on the Inside Ministries and First Free Will Baptist Church for allowing us to be a part of this. And Shady Grove Baptist Church for being a part of the great work that they're doing here in Dallas. And I thank God for just all the goodness for where he's brought me from.
Amen. Now, Brother Tim, now, this is your first time down here, right?
Yes, sir.
So what do you think about the facilities, brother? They done came a long way. We've been down here many years, man, but each time we come down here, I'm at awe of how God has continued to bless. You know, when you come in, if you wasn't referring somebody to it, you know, it doesn't look like what you think it would do.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It looks, actually, it looks first class in here, the way it's set up. It's a nice setup in here. God is doing a great work here.
So you would be encouraging to tell people that need a place to stay, that need a shelter over there, that need a meal, that need to be in a safe place. Would you be okay with that?
Oh, awesome. Yes, sir. For sure. I would recommend this place. I would recommend Dallas Life Foundation. I would recommend them to come down here and get a meal. And also, without being disrespectful, I would like to also say that if they didn't want to come here, that we also at Victory Outreach have a men's home that they can get into, you know, and get off the streets and get their life back together through the love of Christ. I don't think it matters where you go. I think what matters is that you do something, that you follow the urging of God says, move, it's time to move.
Hey, I'm glad you said that. Now, what's relocated on Victory Outreach? Because somebody may hear you, they may be right around the corner. Where you at?
We're our church is on 1301 Record Crossing, but also our men's home is in Pleasant Grove on Riverway Place in Shady Grove. And if they're interested, they can contact you, and they can make sure that you have the number and everything, where they can get plugged into our ministry there also.
That's great. That's great. Hey, I'm going to let you go. Thank you. Don't go far. I'm going to need your voice, okay? God bless you, that Brother Tim there from Victory Outreach. Amen. And now we have another volunteer that's going to come up. And this is Miss Juanita. She's going to share about her experience and what allows her to come down here, because guess what? She's a mother. She have a husband. But yet, on Saturday morning, her and her family came out here to Dallas Life. She came out here to follow what God asked her to do. He said, go ye therefore. She heard the voice, and she came out. Good morning, Miss Juanita.
Good morning.
Welcome to Dallas Life.
Thank you.
Welcome to our internet program, Free on the Inside, JJPS. They stand for the street. This is part of the street ministry. So give us your take on what you're doing today and encourage someone to be about our Father's business.
Today I'm here just because that there was one time in my life where I used to be homeless myself in the streets of Chicago, and I know what it is to be out there, and I know what it is to be hungry. But God had plans for me, and his plans were for better for me, and he turned my whole life around, and he has put a roof over my head, and he just blessed me all kinds of ways. So it's my heart felt to just come out here and do what my God has for me to do. And he told me to just, I have to do what God has done for me. I have to turn back the time, the clock, and do the same thing as be a servant for the Lord. And that is what he wants us to do. It's just to be a servant for Christ.
Now, Ms. Juanita, now what do you think about Dallas Life? You know, you said you had been in other places. Now, would you be okay with sending somebody down here and just referring them? We know that you also have a home, but sometimes people, they get it the wrong understanding of going to a shelter, going to places for assistance.
Yes, I would recommend it. It is an awesome place here. The people here are doing great things for the community. They're doing great things for the people that need a place here. It is an amazing place. I will recommend them at any time, and any time that they need it, I will recommend it.
Now you're with Victory Outreach. And Victory Outreach, I've been there before. Now, they have a men's home and also a women's home. Can you give us some information regarding the women's home or the location? So if a woman may want a place to stay, a safe place, a place to be restored and recover, and a place to be in a relationship with Christ Jesus. Could you give us some address and some of the things they can expect?
Yes, we are from Victory Outreach North Dallas, and our church has two women's homes. One is located in the east side of Dallas, and the other one is in Fort Worth, and I believe they're working one in Arlington, if I'm not mistaken. But these are Christian recovery homes, and what we do is we take the women from the streets of any kinds of walks of life. A lot of these women are drug addicted and they have nowhere to go. And what we do is we pick them up at any time. We take them in, and we try to show them the life of Christ, how Christ can change their life. A lot of these women have gone into our women's home and came out, and today they are now serving the Lord. Some of them are even pastors' wives. And anytime you need, we would love to come and get you. All you have to do is reach us at Victory Outreach, North Dallas.
God bless you. Thank you very much. And I know that you're busy, so thank you for your show of love here at Dallas Life and for what you're doing with Victory Outreach. I know that what you're doing in the ministry is making a difference in someone's life. I love to say help change a life in Jesus' name. God, me and you help, and a lot of other people have experienced the love of Christ. And because of that love to someone else, it changed our lives. So what you're doing today, going to help someone's life and change by a smile, by a hello, by just a show of love. Some life going to be changed today. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. All right.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you. Oh, what a beautiful testimony. What a beautiful ministry there. Now we have someone else. And afterward, we'll take a break and we're going to play a little praise music. And so you can relax. Remember, you're listening to Free on the Inside, JJPS, Jail Juvenile Street Prison. Amen. So we encourage you to be about your Father's business. We encourage you to help change a life in Jesus' name. We've been down here many years, and I am so happy to have faithful volunteers like the young lady I have in front of me, Sister Harbor, my friend. Sister Harbor, she continues to show how God is working mighty in her life. She continues to show the love of Christ Jesus. And once again, she's at Dallas Life on a Saturday morning. She could be doing something else, but yet she heard the word of God said, go ye therefore. But she answered and said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Sister Harper, tell us about your encounter here. This isn't your first time, so talk to us for a few minutes.
You're right, Mr. Lewis. I have come down here several years, and I'm here to be a blessing to the residents. You know, I think about how my life is blessed and how good God has been to me. It's only prayer. It's only the right thing to do to pay it forward. And, you know, I know I've watched you over the years, how you just earnestly work hard at it. And, you know, any little time that I can give, I'm just most appreciative to the Lord, because it could be me. It could be me. So I don't take anything that the Lord does for me for granted. And I'm just glad to be here this morning.
Amen. God bless you. You know, we come down here time after time, and we see how it can constantly add into the aren't you glad you're part of something?
Yeah.
God, you know, I feel like when we down here, God blesses us constantly down here.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the Life Center has been, I mean, it's been overhauled, and it's a bright and a cheerful place. I know it's just for transitional purposes, but while you're here, you want to enjoy being here while you're here. You don't want to, with everything else that's going on with you, you don't want to look down and say, well, this place is humdrum, because that's far from the truth. And I'm just thankful to God for the volunteers, thankful for his hand in this. That's it.
Yeah, that's so right. That's so right. And sometimes, you know, we take it for granted that, you know, when we're doing things, and God's pleased with it, and God in it, he'll bless those things.
Yeah.
And plus, he'll bless the people around you.
Yeah.
A lot of times, the blessing ain't for us. It's for someone
that's
else.
Right. Absolutely.
So what you're doing year after year, it's been a blessing, and God is taking note of that and say, hey, my sister's taking mindful of that, so I'm going to add a little something to her, because that's on her heart. You know, he gives us the desires of our heart.
That's right.
And
that's
our
right.
desires are to help someone else.
That's right. Absolutely. And, you know, I would be less than the Christian that I profess to be if I couldn't give help and lend a hand to someone else. And I'm just thankful. I'm truly thankful and grateful. My heart just bubbles over this morning. Thank you, Minister Lewis.
God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, feeding the multitude. You know, we are from a small church,
yeah.
and our finances are no different than anybody else's at this time and season. But yet, God still blesses us.
Yes,
and that's why I said, feeding a multitude. Do you feel it?
I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. And we have food to feed the multitude on this morning.
Amen.
Their bellies are going to be full, and hopefully they'll get a word from the Lord also.
Amen. God bless you. Thank Amen. You, my sister. Thank you. Amen. What a great interview that we had. That was Sister Harbert there, a member of Shady Grove Baptist Church. Amen. We're going to get some more volunteers to come in and tell us how God is working mighty in their life. But before we do anything else, we're going to have some music. We're going to have a couple of musical selections here. We pray that you're being blessed by what you hear this morning. Amen. Again, you're listening to Free on the Inside. You're down at Dallas Life Foundation. So be blessed. Amen.
Oh, God. This next generation needs you. God, you said that in the last days, you shall pour your spirit upon all flesh. You said that the young people shall prophesy. And God, the young people need you like never before. For the enemy is on attack. So now, God, I pray against all type of gun violence. I pray against the shooting that's in our schools. I pray against suicidal thoughts. I pray against drugs. I pray against bullying. And I speak over the lives of the young people, that they would not fall into the hands of temptation. The young people will get back in place with you. They will hunger for holiness. And the hunger will be so great that it will be unexplainable. In the name of Jesus, God, I declare right now that we, your young people, we will present ourselves as living sacrifices. Our lives are in your hands. We make the choice. We make the vow right now that, God, we will not give in to peer pressure. We will not give in, God, to suicidal thoughts. We will not give in to what the enemy has to offer. We will not give in to the plans of the enemy. But, God, we stand and we say we will be holy. We will keep our bodies pure. We will keep our bodies pure. We'll keep our minds pure. In the name of Jesus, we will not give in to drugs. We will not give in to drinking. We will not give in to smoking. But God, we will stand for holiness. We will stand for what's right. So God, we cry out, purify us, Lord. Purify us, Lord. Sanctify us. us. Cleanse us, God. We want to be holy. We want to be like you, Lord. We want to be like you, Lord. We cry out today. We give ourselves to you. Our lives are in your hand. Our lives are in your hand. Oh, God, for we believe you're raising up some planet shakers. You're raising up some demon slayers. You're raising up some Satan defeaters. And God, we stand right now and we say we will be the one. We will be the one that will show the enemy that he is a liar. He will not have all the young people. He will not have our minds. We will be the one. We will be the example. We will be the chosen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Young people right there where you are, just lift up your hands and begin to tell God, God, I will be the one. God, I will be the one. He just want to know if he can have a will in them. He just want to know if he have a will in them that will stand up and declare to this nation, that will stand up and declare to this world that God is real. God is real. I will be the one. I will be the one.
Hey, man, I pray you enjoyed that musical selection. Again, we're down here at Dallas Life Foundation. It's a homeless shelter for men, women, and family. We're preparing the lunch today. Our lunch is called Feeding the Multitude. Oh, that's a powerful thing. Jesus took what they had for him. You know, Jesus asked them in one part of the show, he said, what do you have? You know, what do you have? Sometimes we think we don't have enough. But our Lord is saying, he said, what do you have? What would you render unto him? You know, I do I'll go back again. I do that jail ministry. And each setting, I go down there, I speak to the young man in the various dorms and the pod, and I say, let go and let God. Let go and let God. What you holding on to? Why are you holding on to it? Let it go and let God. You know, I wonder how many people are holding on to resentment, anger, bitterness, frustration, disappointment. They said, let go and let God. You know, as we get ready to serve this lunch, we gonna pray that the men and women are letting something go and letting God. They letting the disappointments go. They letting frustrations go. They letting all those things go that are separating them from the love of God. We have a special show today. We down at Dallas Life Foundation, and we're on today from 9 to 10:30. I'm bringing in a couple of the volunteers, and we're gonna have one of the residents. He's a cook. He's going to come on here in a few minutes, and he's going to share with us the goodness of God. He was down here last year. He's no longer living at the residence. He's on staff, and he's a cook. And Dallas Life Foundation have put men and women in place that without a place. This man came down, and he needed a place to stay. He needed to be brought back into a relationship with God and man. And he found himself at Dallas Life Foundation. He took advantage of the courses that they had. He listened to the counselors. He applied the things that they told him that he knew about, but they just gave him a refreshing, and they applied those things. And then now they are now he's back in the right standing. He's a cook, and so now he's fixing a special dinner for the graduates. And I met him last year. It's Coach Robert. Chef Robert. I keep saying my coach, but he's like a coach. When I come out here, he's coaching me. He's teaching me how to work in an environment like this here. And so he's very instrumental, you know. So we're going to play another musical selection, and then we're going to encourage you to be about our Father's business. Amen. And so enjoy this selection. Afterwards, we'll continue with the program at hand. You two can call in to this number, 310-982-4126. Again, that's 310-982-4126. Amen.
don't believe. I failed again, but with your hand, you don't give up on me. What do you see? How could this be? That all things get better, better, better. Not one mistake can undo grace. Your love's forever, ever, ever. The Ancient of Days whispers my name. Your master plan for me included enough mercy that flows from here to eternity. So bring on whatever, ever. You make all things work together, together, together. All things get better, better, better. All things get better. They keep reminding me how I don't believe.
You enjoyed that musical selection. Now we have one of our youngest volunteers, my granddaughter, Zanaya. Oh, I love my little granddaughter because she always wants to come down here whenever we're down here. She always wants to be a part of what God is doing. Amen. And I'm so happy to have her do it because one day Papa going to be on. One day Papa ain't going to be able to do this. And then when she go out and do it, she going to do it just like Papa did it, but she going to do it better. Then she going to come back and say, Papa, you should have been there. Now God showed himself mighty and showed himself strong. So the next voice you hear will be my granddaughter, who I love very much. There, she gonna say hello to everyone and tell her how she, what she doing down here today. What are you doing out here today in Dallas life?
Hi, my name is Anaya, and I'm just helping with food today.
All right, now have you been down here before?
Yes.
So how you like coming down here? You could be doing other. It's Saturday morning. You could be watching cartoons or something.
No, I let God just choose what I want to do. So God told me to come down here and help the people.
All right. So you want to help the people. That's good. And so when you come down here, exactly what did you do today when you came down here?
I started cooking.
Oh, you mean you could cook? What are you fixing today? What did you fix in the kitchen today?
Spaghetti and garlic bread.
All right. That sounds good. You know, me and you going to eat some dinner today. That sounds like a good dinner.
Yeah.
All right. Now tell me now, are you still in school or have you graduated?
I'm still in school.
So how's school going?
It's great.
What grade are you in now?
I'm in fourth.
So what are your favorite subjects in the fourth grade?
Social studies.
Social studies. Oh, man, I like that there. And so exactly today, as you come down here, tell me why you want to come down here on a regular basis to help out.
Because because I want to help the people that are in need.
Oh, that's beautiful, that young lady. Because, you know, one day we're going to need some help. Because we all get in need. None of us is can escape having trouble, whether it's finances, a headache, or whatever. And we pray that we got somebody that understands and can help us.
Yeah.
Amen. So tell me now, what you going to do the rest of the day when you get out of here? What's up?
Hang out with my papa.
Oh, really? Sound like that's an icy day, a slurpy day. You and your papa are like going to get that icy and stuff, don't you?
Yeah.
What's your favorite flavor?
Big Red.
Oh, Big Red. Do you mix it with something or you just do the Big Red by itself?
Sometimes I mix it with something. Sometimes I just eat it alone.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. All right. Well, thank you very much for the interview. And we're going to let you go back and finish making your garlic bread and helping out with spaghetti and the dessert. And we're going to have us a good time, all right?
Okay.
All right. And we'll see you later, okay?
Bye.
All right. What a great interview I had there with my little granddaughter there. You know, she loves to come down here, but she's a kid, so we still allow kids to be kids, amen? So we thank God for it. Now I have my grandson. He's coming down here on a regular basis with me. I'm trying to allow him to be a kid, but I also want him to show compassion and love and care for somebody. So one day my grandson is going to be successful. One day he's going to be a multimillionaire, and he's going to be mindful that he didn't get here by himself. He's going to be mindful that there's other people down here. And my grandson had a show that he's no longer doing, but it was called the Gregory Show. And so we hope to bring that show back on again. But now you're going to hear the one and only Mrs. Gregory.
Hey, nice to be back. Yeah, I'm down here, and we're helping out the needy and feeding the people that's in need, the people that need to be helped out, getting fed. And it's pretty awesome down here. We meet new people. People teach you some stuff on how to do right so they did wrong. And they'll tell you the right from the wrong. And we just have a lot of fun. Everybody from the church and all your friends and family here.
And that sounds great, Elder Gregory. You know, you've been out here a lot of times, man, but you keep coming back. What allows you to keep coming back besides your pawpaw?
It's just helping out people. I love helping out people, especially people that doing, well, I don't want to say bad to me, the real, and don't have as much as I do. Even though I don't have that much, I still have to help out people. Because you never know, when you give out something, you might get the back in return, and it might be even greater than the stuff you want.
Oh, that sounds good. Now, y'all know you were doing something special down here today. You were fixing a dessert, right?
Yes, sir.
You also were giving out name tags, you know, and the purple of those name tags so we could just be friendly to the people we meet and they could be friendly to us. Because a lot of them have old name tags, but we're not identifying ourselves. And we want to become their friends.
Yes, sir, we do. And the reason why we put their name tags and dessert up and everything, everybody loves dessert. Everybody loves to eat chocolate cake and brownies and stuff after dinner. And everybody loves dessert. And the reason why we put that out there is because so people can get some after they fix their food. And the reason why we wrote their names down so we can know their names instead of calling them stuff like Amen or say Mr. or Mrs. and we all know their name. So we let their names take out. We'd be like Mrs. Johnny, Mrs. Vargas, or something like that.
All right. Thank you, Elder Gregory. And we're looking forward to you starting your show again since school has started. What grade are you in this year?
I'm in 11th grade this year.
The Gregory's in 11th grade. And what are you planning on doing? Because you're getting ready to just start thinking about the colleges. Are you going to go to college, or what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to college, and I will try to take over my granddad's business and make it into like a big franchise company. So it's going to take a lot of school education, a lot of knowledge for that. So that's why I'm taking right now to help me out for it later on in the future. So the computer classes I got, they can help me with the computer business. And that way I can learn how to run a business and marketing, editing, and everything. So that way I want to try to have something and I don't even know what to do with it. So that's why I'm taking these classes in college. I'm going to take a couple classes like that and just have fun. Yes, I'm going to college.
Thank you. That late breaking news is Gregory is going to college. So we're going to follow his career and see how God is going to bless him. And he's going to always be mindful of events like this. So thank you, the Gregory. looking forward to your show coming on after you get out of school. And I'll give you more information about the Gregory Show that's going to be coming back to Blog Talk Radio, Granny's Place, very soon. Thank you, Gregory. All right, what a great interview that we had there with my grandson. You heard two interviews, one from my granddaughter, one from my grandson. And my wife is in the kitchen. She's out working diligently. We're going to play an interview from Mr. Sweeney. He was a guest on our program some time ago, but he got a very good take on what's going on here at Dallas Lycos. He's a director. So he could make it so plain that you two could come out and want to be a part of what he's doing. So the next voice you'll hear will be Mr. Sweeney. It's a pre-recorded interview that we had at Dallas Life. All right, so here we are. We got that interview coming up here shortly. And so we'll bring that one on, amen. But until that one, we get ready to cue it in. Then we got our other young lady. She's going to come in and she's going to give us an interview. Amen, amen. So we got another one to volunteer from Shady Grove Baptist Church. She's no stranger to what we're doing. Thank you very much, Sister Shira, for what you're doing. Thank you for help changing the life in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, you know, this Saturday morning, you could be doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
You're a professional. You're a woman of God. You could be resting. This could be your own personal time. But yet you came down here to help change a life. Tell me about your experience here at Dallas Life and what keeps driving you and keeps pushing you this way.
You know, this is a wonderful experience to see exactly how some people have it, because it keeps me humble, first of all, because this could be me. I mean, I go through life, and we all go through life, actually. But we know that things happen to us and that the Lord still provides. The Lord still makes a way. So even though things might happen in our lives, we have organizations and foundations like this that help pave the way and actually help those who are in need. And so I'm grateful that there are places like this that can help those who are in need. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to help, because it could have been me on the other side of that versus me serving. So I'm thankful and grateful that the Lord allowed me to be blessed to help so that someone else might necessarily help me when I'm in need.
Amen. God bless you. Well spoken. You know, you've been out here a few times.
Yeah.
Now, each time we come down here, don't you see how the place is changing a little bit? You know, isn't that awesome to know that we're in the midst of God moving?
Yes.
You know, God, you know, it puts me saying that whatever your desires are, He blesses those things there. Because of what you're doing here, God has favor to this place. You know, even though you come down here as often as possible, God said, my sister's mindful of that place, I'm going to be mindful of this place here. And that's something that we have to tell everybody. That what you know, the thing that you put your hands to do, God will bless those things. Never give up, never give out. You know, you are our Sunday school teacher over at Shady Grove Baptist Church. And so you got a great lesson. Now, what can we expect tomorrow from Sunday school?
Oh, tomorrow's lesson. We're wrapping up in the book of Romans. And, again, our lesson tomorrow is going to go in detail, again, about how we need to be more selfless and make sure that we're coming together as a community to unite the church. Regardless of denominations, regardless of backgrounds, that the church needs to be united and stand on what God has said. So I guarantee you, tomorrow we're going to be in the book of Romans chapter 14. If you know it, you definitely should be aware that we're going to be bringing in some unity there. Our focus for this whole entire quarter has been faith and unity. So we definitely need to make sure we're doing I would encourage you to study your lesson, because it's very important that we unify at this time and at this hour.
Hey, man, that sounds like what God is doing right today, don't it?
Yep, true.
You know, because in the back here, we got people from different denominations,
yep,
different races, but they all serving and honoring God, all of them. So thank you for sharing it with our listening audience, and someone has been encouraged by that. So we encourage everyone to go to their local assembly, go to Sunday school, because it definitely makes a difference. My sister, thank you for being a part of what we're doing. Free on the Inside, JJTS, Jail Field of Street Ministry. You're part of the street team, amen? God bless you, amen. Amen. What a great interview we had, a beautiful interview that we had there with our dear sister. She's our superintendent over at Shady Grove Baptist Church, and also a very powerful Sunday school teacher. Now, next voice you'll hear will be Mr. Sweeney telling us something about the Dallas Life Foundation. Kick back and enjoy, and I'll be back with you shortly. Amen.
Oh, for not acknowledging that, thank you for giving us that information.
Sure.
Are you currently pastor anywhere today?
Well, I do speak at various places. I'm an interim pastor when churches are looking and they're in between. And I help a lot of churches learn the process of how to select a pastor. I use it as a as an interim ministry, really helping churches realize that pastors are looking for the place that God wants them to be. And so many times when a church is without a pastor, they really rush through the process or just hire a relative or a friend, and they don't take the steps needed to really evaluate the needs of their church, introduce their neighborhood through the Chamber of Commerce to the various pastors that might be looking, and really pray about this and fast and make it a diligent search for the right man. So oftentimes I'll go in for a weekend and help churches do that and speak over that weekend and challenge the congregation.
Oh, that is such a wonderful thing. God has really, truly given you your calling, huh? That's beautiful. Well, I just would like to say that we enjoy working with the Dallas Life, and we've been there for 5 years where we come down and we help on every other fourth Saturday of the month. We come in and we do the feeding, and on the fourth Saturday in August, we bring all the food and we do the cooking and the serving, and it has been such a joy and a pleasure for the Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church to help out in that event. So I just wanted to thank you for allowing us to do that, and I wanted to get a little information on your passion for the Dallas Life Foundation or Dallas Life, and see where you would like to be in the next 5 years.
Well, that's wonderful. First of all, we are grateful for churches such as yours, because organizations our size can simply never operate without our wonderful volunteers. We have over 1,200 volunteers that come down, many in the form of churches that serve meals like yours does. Oftentimes, those folks will come down and have such a compassion, a care, and a love for the homeless that they dump all of that love into a meal that they can serve, and it stays with the resident. It reminds them of the love that the community has for them. When it comes to my passion for homelessness, it's really twofold. One is to really encourage the needy person. And second is really to encourage our society to realize they misunderstand what the average homeless person is like. The media wants us to believe that every homeless person is pushing a grocery cart or standing at a red light with a sign saying, "Will work, God bless, please help." But the truth is, Lissandra, that the average homeless person is looking like you and I. They're just running out of money before the end of the month. They're trying to keep their families together, having lost a job, an apartment, maybe a death in the family. Maybe they just found out they have a deadly disease, and they're struggling. And they look like you and me. We're sitting next to people in our church services every Sunday that are one, two, or three paychecks away from having to stay at a place like Dallas Life, and we would never know it, because too oftentimes we don't ask the questions on that level. We're too used to going to church, smiling, asking each other, "How are you?" and expecting each other to say, "Just fine," and we go our way in pain. And the homeless people that come to us, they come in trauma. They come to us in such distress that they feel as though there's no place else to go. And when the scriptures tell me the poor will always be with you, I realize that homelessness is not going away. It's not a disease that needs to be cured. It's a disorder that needs to be addressed. So if Christ told us that the poor will always be here, perhaps we're supposed to find a way to work with them and bless them in his name, and realize that they need help and encouragement, and that's what we have to offer. So when I think of passion, I think of the desire to see a person become the best they can be, whether it be a homeless person getting back to work, or that church person who knows nothing about homelessness really waking up or understanding for that first time that they can make a difference on a long-term basis, not by looking down or struggling with a homeless person, but by challenging them and holding them accountable to let God come in and change their life. So that's what I think about when I think about passion.
Oh, That is such a good passion. That has always been my concern also, to see the people that don't know God that need a little word from us, to let them know that we do care. There are people in the society that really, really care for the needs of others, and that has always been something that I love to do. I like to give back what God has given me, and I hear that in your explanation, and that sounds good. And faithful, because you know God is so faithful. Once when we give, He'll give back to us. So that has always been something that I took heed of, because I know that He is a good God, and I thank you that your principles are based upon that. Because there are lots of other people who try to help are not based directly on the words of God. So I have a magazine here, or maybe your little newsletter, that talks about the children at Dallas Life. Would you like to elaborate on the children that you encounter there?
Yeah, the children that come to Dallas Life just touch our heart, because realize no child ever asked to be homeless. They are at our shelter because of bad decisions that other people have made. Oftentimes those decisions that their parents have been making, they've been forced to make that decision because that mom might have just been left by that husband or boyfriend, having no place to turn. Sometimes it's us having to come face to face with the dad and really challenge him, because he did have some options to his choices, but he chose the wrong path, whether it be drug or alcohol use, or simply turning his back on his family once he was discouraged, having lost his job. So our challenge to people is to realize that children just have that special place in the heart of God. So children that come to Dallas Life, they're greeted with a new teddy bear on their bed, a new book for them to keep. They keep that book and teddy bear forever. Now, even if they never remember that they stayed at Dallas Life, our goal is that they would remember that they were in a place where they were loved and cared for with the love of God during a time in which mom or dad was really struggling. So for the kids, we try to do extra special things. We have a birthday party every month where you're given a gift, whether it's your birthday month or not. We have back-to-school parties where backpacks filled with school supplies and two uniforms and new tennis shoes go to each child. We have camping in the spring and camping in the summer through the DISD and some other independent programs. We lavish the kids with lots of toys at Christmas time so that it will be a special, special time for them. We're grateful for our partnerships with City Park Elementary, Dade Middle School, and the James Madison High School, which are the schools where our kids from the shelter go. They're picked up by the school bus right in front of my office. And we really try to be there for kids with family counseling, encouragement, even after school homework help every single night of the week through the Rainbow Days and the Dallas School District. So we want to love on a kid and let them know that God's right there for them, even through this transitional time of their life. We just love the kids.
Right. I see that in the little photos we hear. Now, how is your success rate with the children as far as getting them into schools and getting them into your programs? Do they regularly have any obstacles, or are they withdrawn or anything like that to participate?
Yeah, they do struggle. Yeah, we realize that as a child comes to us, most of the kids that come to Dallas Life, they're ambivalent. They're not sure how they're feeling about having to be there. So what we want to do is make sure that while they go to school and they're getting enrolled, they know that we're there to support them. Now realize some of those kids will be with us at the shelter for maybe 5, 6, 7, 10 weeks. Most of the kids, though, they're going to be there 5, 6, 7, or 10 months. So we quickly get them enrolled through the school system. Our goal is to let the child go to the school that they went to before they became homeless so that there's less trauma in their lives. Sometimes we're able to do that and sometimes we're not. But I have to give a shout out to our kids, because we just love the fact that The kids that come to Dallas Life are learning to be so well-rounded, dealing with their homework, trusting God, that oftentimes society struggles with homeless kids and even the school system because some principals don't want to enroll homeless children into their schools in the state of Texas because they feel like that homeless child is going to drive down the tax test scores of that school, where we're finding that the average child staying at Dallas Life is raising the tax test scores. About 3 months ago, a little girl ran in my office and she said, Reverend Sweeney, I got an 87 on my tax test. And I said, what a testimony that is. And we put it on Facebook and we shared it with the Dallas Morning News that this child is actually raising the scores of that school even though she's homeless. So while the kids struggle, we really try to be there for them, encouraging education, encouraging them to have fun, but through that whole process, letting them know it's God that's helping them with that, not Dallas Life. It's God.
All right. Wonderful, wonderful. Beverly, do you have any questions or comments?
Pastor Sweeney, what advice would you give to other nonprofits who are trying to create a program to help at-risk youth or to help the homeless? What advice would you give them starting up their organization or to keep it going? What would be
your advice? Well, that's a great question. It's gonna your listeners are going to think that I asked you to ask that because it's a perfect segue into a book that I have written.
Oh, wow. Great.
About 4 years ago, I was approached by an oil and gas man who asked me if I would be willing to write a book on why Dallas Life is so successful, because the average shelter in America that has a long-term recovery program sees 2 or 3% of its people go through the program, graduate, and never need those shelter services again. Instead of 2 or 3%, we are seeing 26% of our people graduate. And so Dr. Tony Evans, former Governor Mike Huckabee, Josh McDowell, and a few others came to me and said, we need to put this in written form. So I have written a book. It's called 2535 Main Street. It's based on the principles of Matthew 25:35 that said, I was hungry and you fed me, I was naked and you clothed me. And this Matthew, in 2535 Main Street, it describes the details of Dallas Life, my views on homelessness, why we are seeing the results that we are, and how other organizations, especially shelters across the country, can implement some of our things. The program is written in detail. I wrote our long-term recovery program about 12 years ago and have seen 1,500 people go through it. So you can get the first two chapters for free, downloaded at 2535mainstreet.com. And so we're encouraging people through the book to really learn more about Dallas Life that way. Also, there's lots of times when nonprofits who are just starting out will come to my office and spend a couple of hours with me. I try to give them encouragement and hints to prevent struggle. If I've made mistakes in the past, I want other nonprofits to not make them. So I deeply believe that we should all be in partnership and collaboration, not feeling as though we're hiding so that no one knows the success of our results. Like, we don't want that out there because people will try to steal it. I would love for people to steal my program. I'd like it to be used all over the place. I hope they take it and just run with it. But oftentimes they'll call me and we'll talk about how to start that feeding program or that clothing program or a soup kitchen or a nonprofit. My telling them how to get a 501c3, how to develop a board of directors, how to work with mailings that go out to your donors, how to work with a tax-exempt basis, how to talk to the media. I love to do those types of things. But the book, 2535mainstreet.com, will certainly help a lot of people get some of those answers.
Oh, that's great. I just, when I was thinking about what to talk to you about, I was wondering, well, maybe you can help other nonprofits.
Yeah.
what is your greatest handicap when it comes to raising funds? Do you have one?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, because we all know that with the economy changing the way it is, there are some decisions nonprofits have to make. Unfortunately, we have to be careful as Christian nonprofits to not fall into that mindset that we always need to do it like the businesses do it. I think there needs to be that fine line in ministry where we say, hey, this is where I will not cross the line. I do this for Christ. I won't change my purpose statement, for example, or my mission statement, and take God out of it just because I might be able to get a grant. One of the things I also noticed this year is that since the economy is so bad, there's many seminars out there challenging nonprofits on how to change our appeal letters. Appeal letters are those letters that go out every month that come to your home once you give to an organization and they ask you for money again. Well, so many places are saying, if you have that little old lady that gave you $25 a month and now she's only giving you $15 a month, maybe you can change your letter so that it will look like she'll feel guilty if she doesn't give you more money. And
yeah.
I say, that's nonsense. What we need to do is be so grateful in realizing that lady changed her giving because she doesn't have it to give. So maybe nonprofits need to go outside the box and find some other ways to raise money. At Dallas Life, for example, 2 years ago, we realized that the homeless people that were staying with us, most of whom had food stamps, were oftentimes giving those food stamps to their relatives every month and not spending them on their children. Well, even though we provided all the meals, there were things like candy bars and hot dogs and some of those things that were not donated. So we opened a convenience store and became the only shelter in America with a full-service convenience store inside. I found that people were spending food stamps in there, and now that store is doing very, very well and a good source of income for us, and it's right there on property. So the challenges that we face are just the daily encouragements of remembering our donors, and our love for the donor always comes first. We love to use the word partnership. I love to use the word a challenge and camaraderie, because I deeply believe we have the best donors, but donors need to be informed. People say, no one's giving today. That is not true. Don't let anybody convince you of that. Donors want to see a changed life, and if you show them that life is changed and you can explain to them how that life is changed because of Jesus Christ, they will give to you because they see an honesty. Whereas if you paint a picture of how badly you want their $1 million and you'll name this after them and you'll do that, I find the older I get, the less I ask for money and the more I ask for people to change a life. And donors really, really love that.
Oh, that is great. That's a great idea. I think it's, you know, when you read the papers, they tell you that you can't get this and you can't get that. And trying to make someone feel guilty is not a good thing. I mean, I wouldn't want to make somebody feel guilty to give me some money to when there's a need. It would, you know, it would make me feel bad that person would feel so
correct.
Guilty that I would like coercing someone to give something.
Sure. Also, when you realize that there's always competition out there for those donor dollars, and too oftentimes shelters or other nonprofits make the mistake of saying that since we know that God will always take care of us, which you and I know is true, too
mm-hmm.
oftentimes the Christian organization almost kind of bury their head in the sand and say, even though times are bad and even though I have no idea how to raise money, I'm just going to sit back and not do anything because God's got to protect me anyway. Well, I think God's also given us a mind and common sense.
Yes.
And we don't want the nonprofit to close and then say, God must have closed it. Well, maybe he closed it because we got lazy. So we have to go out there and do our task, do our part. And I always remind our donors and my staff alike, I use the phrase, pray for the donor. Don't pray on the donor. pray for the donor, don't pray on them, because the donor wants to see a life change. And the donor who gives $50 to your organization, in my case a shelter, next month they want to know that we've done something to make that man move on whose $50 fed them lunch and dinner every day. Next month they want their $50 to go help someone else. So at Dallas Life, we don't want to be known as a shelter, because if we're only a shelter and you stay with us for 6 months, then you go your way, we go our way, you're still homeless, and we're still a shelter. No, we want to be a recovery program so that you don't need our services next year at this time, but you can be standing up, speaking in microphones as to what God has done to change your life, how you let him do that. He gets the glory, not you. You're recovered and feeling better, and the donor sees that that life is no longer at a dead end. That's what our goal is.
That's great.
That's a praise report within
itself.
Yes,
it is.
Yes,
you
it
know,
just
most
makes
time when
you
feel
so wonderful.
Most time when you look at the city and they're talking about shelters like they created that new one, to me it seems like they're always trying to hide the homeless people, not really work with them. It's like they're trying to hide them.
Well, now
you
really touched on a major, major topic that's being debated on the news and newspapers all over, and the subject is housing first. It's a buzzword that you see in the media and in the newspaper, and it's exactly what you just said. It's about out of sight, out of mind. If we know the scripture says the poor will always be with us, I wish people would understand the homeless are not going away. So the biggest question I have in all of homelessness is this. Why don't people realize homeless people used to have a home? If we don't find out why they lost that home, they will lose every home we give them until we get to the root of the problem. So in Housing First, this is where it started. It started in the Bronx, New York, then it went on to Manhattan, to Miami and Seattle. And the deal is this. If you're homeless, it costs $325 a night to keep you in Green Oaks or a mental hospital in your city. Now, it only costs $125 a night if they have to keep you in jail. So they have been looking for a way to keep homeless people on a daily rate at less than $125 in every major city in America, and they've come up with it, Housing First. In Housing First, what they'll do is they'll go to owners of abandoned apartments or hotels and say, why can't you rent out the rooms in your hotel? Because it's a bad neighborhood, or maybe because there's abatement issues, asbestos, old dilapidated buildings, much like you and I would think of a slum landlord. And so those landlords and hotel owners can get government assistance by the government saying, what is the value of that room that you're trying to rent? Well, the value of that is $300 a month. Okay, what if the government gave you $300 a month and you let us fill your apartment or your abandoned hotel with a lot of homeless people? They could live there for free. The government pays you. No one sees the homeless people on the street. Well, the end result is, ladies, that the landlord gets rich. Homeless people are forced into these abandoned buildings. No one is there to give them bus passes, job training, casework volunteers, and they end up turning that abandoned building into a dope house because no one's there to support them. If they're mentally ill, they sink deeper into their depression. Well, they give you the apartment, and there's a time limit on it of either 4 months, 8 months, or 1 year. At the end of that period of time, you have to find yourself a job or they will evict you. If they evict you, you cycle right back through another shelter, and they replace you with someone else because so long as they keep it occupied, they're getting rich.
Money.
So we look at that and say, that doesn't help the homeless person.
No.
That just throws them through the cycle of homelessness again. So we tell our residents in our long-term program, you are not allowed to jump into one of those programs for housing until you're closer to graduation. Our program is 10 months long. But unfortunately, you have places like Seattle who've even gone another step, whereas if you're a homeless person on the street and you're brought into one of those apartments, they even have an alcohol center where you stop. And if you're shaking from alcohol consumption yesterday and you're withdrawing from it, they give you a couple of drinks to calm your body down before they put you in that apartment that day. Now they're adding to your addiction, letting you stay for free, and they're collecting government money while they do it. We don't think that's the answer.
So the next day the person's going to have that same issue.
Absolutely.
So they're getting paid to just really just put you away and keep
Isn't
you
that terrible?
Contained.
Yes, that's terrible because their addiction's getting worse. They're closer to death because studies show that alcoholics who repeatedly get into a drunken stupor will drink a little bit more next time to get just as drunk. So the end result is they're gradually killing people, and it's just so sad. Every other day I blog nationally on homelessness, and people can learn about that at homelessinformation.com. They tag me as the homeless expert, and there's a blog on there they can click on.
Homelessinformation.blog?
Homelessinformation.com. Yes,
okay.
And there's a spot on that site. They can click on the blog. It'll take them right to it. And if you read the blog and you're interested in it, there's an icon on there that if you click on that, every other day when I blog, it will send you an email with the title of the blog for the day. So
okay.
Homelessinformation.
We're going to stop that interview with Mr. Sweeney right now, and we're going to have an interview from one of our volunteers. We're back to you live. We're down here at Dallas Life Foundation. We're doing our annual luncheon, feeding the multitude, and we're excited about what's going on. The volunteers are doing a great job, and so now we have one of our volunteers. She's been here with us for a while, Sister Constance. Thank you, my sister. God bless you. Now tell us about what keeps driving you back to Dallas Life.
I get back to God's life because every time I see the children and everything, I just thank God that it could have been me. We have been doing this, well, at least mine and my family have been doing this since the year 2000, and I love it. I still love it, still get a joyful feeling out of coming down here and helping people. There is nothing more that you can do than to help give back. But God said, well, Jesus said, when you do this for me, you do it for a lot. So when you see me and you do this here to help people, you're helping Jesus. You're helping him spread the gospel to the world. And since I've also started learning American Sign Language, I come down here to the Dallas Life Foundation, and I do signs. I sign for them as well as sign and dance for them. I love coming down here. Again, if someone would love to, I'd love to teach you sign language. The Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church, Sister Connie. And we, again, come down here ever since the year 2000. And it has been a really successful joy for this feeling in my life to come down and help others. Because, again, it could have been me, and I thank God that it's not, but it could have been me. So you learn to give back. You learn to appreciate what God has given you every day, a new blessing, new grace and mercy. And people need to learn that you need to get up every morning and say, if you do nothing else, say thank you, Lord, for the grace and mercy, a new grace and mercy, a new blessed day that you have given me. Allow me to wake up. So you need to be grateful for your life. You need to thank God for your life every day. You need to come down here to Dallas Life Foundation and volunteer your time, and you will find out that you'll get a joy out of this. You know that you are helping others, and at the same time, you help yourself.
God bless you, my sister. Now, my sister, now you not only come down here to Dallas Life, but you also go to a senior citizen ministry, and you perform something that's called a silent praise. Tell us about that, and tell us the joy that our senior citizens get out of seeing you perform that for God.
Oh, I enjoy that as well. Like I said earlier, I'm learning American Sign Language. And the last Saturday, we went down to the senior manor over here off of that tiny
Metropolitan.
I did when God calls me. There was a sweet little lady. I started singing, and she stood up, and she started singing with me, and she started coming towards me. You know that she knows the song, and she was just overjoyed. You just see it in her. And Lord knows, when you touch people, you get a great joy in your life, knowing that you're giving back, knowing that you have touched someone. You open up just a little part of their memory to let them remember a song that touched them when they were growing up, and it was wonderful. Not only her, but a couple of other ones stood up, and they enjoyed the songs. I like to do a lot of old gospel songs as well as hymns, and, you know, we grew up with that there in our generation. We grew up with hymns and old songs. I don't mind doing contemporary songs, but I have to feel it. But the old hymns, yes, I love them.
Hey, man, God bless you. And you know, I was down there too, and I experienced that. And the lady that was being active with you doing that praise, silent praise, and she doesn't speak very much, but her body spoke loud and clear, saying that God is calling her and drawing her. And I feel a sense that God is steady drawing his people today.
Yes, he is.
You know, he's still, you have an ear to hear. Hear what thus says the Lord.
Yes.
Sister Constance, thank you for hearing the voice of God.
Thank you.
I asked you, but it was God that touched you and said, go ye therefore, but you answered the call. God bless you.
I
love that you're doing this as often as possible, especially this time of year where we're able to give back.
And we ought to
stay
to grow
from
the
Baptist
Church.
Yes, stay to grow. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Sister Council member of Shady Grove Baptist Church, I'm the Pastor Michael Morgan, and we want to thank you for listening in. We're about ready to wind down this program. We got a few more minutes to be on the net here. We got some more volunteers that came in, and so we want to be very mindful of everybody that's coming in and doing their thing, and so we want to thank God. Thank God, thank God. And again, you too could be a part of this program. It's 310-982-4126. Again, that number is 310-982-4126. And now we have Mr. Sweeney is going to go ahead and we're going to finish this interview with Mr. Sweeney, Director of Dallas Life.
And I would encourage everybody to give something back to somebody to let them know that you do love and care for them. And
you're
we
right.
will hope that we would be able to have you on the show at a later date with some updates, if you don't mind.
I would love to. So the listeners can remember DallasLife.org tells you all about the shelter. HomelessInformation.com tells you about the blog if they want to read about this and other homeless issues every few days online. And lastly, 2535MainStreet.com lets them know about the book that they can take and share with others about why Dallas Life is so successful. I thank you for taking the time to have me on this morning.
Well, God bless you.
I have enjoyed this morning. I didn't know what to expect, but you've kind of encouraged me to volunteer down there. And I'm just excited about what you're doing at Dallas Life. Your vision, your mission for the homeless is heartfelt, and I'm just excited. I've been taking notes through your whole talk this morning, so I'm excited about what you're doing.
Amen. Thank you. I just remember that every time I read, you can change the world, I say, no, I can't. God can change the world. He can just use even me. Thanks so much, lady.
All right. Thank you,
sir.
Bless you, sir. Bless you. Bye-bye.
And we will be getting with you at a later date and get schedule you again to come on and give us some more enlightening information and just make our souls bubble as we are right now, because I want
to
shout over here. I just want to give God some glory and praise for you, because it's just a wonderful thing that you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much. I'd be honored to come back on.
All right.
Yes.
Well, God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
What a great interview we had there. We can talk about my wife, Sister LaShondra Lewis and Beverly Beadley, the CEO of Granny's Play. They were talking to Mr. Sweeney regarding some of the things at Dallas Life Foundation. We're here at Dallas Life Foundation with our annual luncheon, Feeding the Multitude. We had the volunteers coming out, and we're about ready to wrap up this portion of our program, but we will never get off the air without giving our head supervisor for this time here, Sister LaShondra Lewis. She puts all this together, and I just sit back and look, and she's done a great job, and we thank God that she's have a heart to do these things. Again, she's going to talk to you and share some things that do to her heart and tell you about her ministry. Amen.
Well, good morning. Good morning, Black Talk listeners. Thank you for the opportunity. We are here at the Dallas Life Foundation, and we are serving the people. We have struggled, and we are serving lunch fresh, healthy shallots for the residents. This has been a labor of love. We love to do this once a year. We do it the fourth Saturday in August every year, and it is a pleasure and an honor to come down here and serve the people of Dallas Life. We thank Mr. Sweeney for the opportunity to serve the people. We thank all our volunteers that are here. We have some from Shady Grove. We have some from Victory Outreach that have come down today to help us prepare the food. We have some who are going to serve the food. And we just love doing this. I do have a ministry with my sister, my friend, which we feature talk and spiritual guidance and leadership guidance on Monday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. on this Blog Talk Radio. Please join me on Monday night for inspiring and spiritual guidance. We give resources from Granny's Place. And I wanted to let the listening audience know that Granny's Place has developed a literacy program where we are going to teach GED and ESL classes in the future. You can go to our website and get all that information. But thank you so much today for joining us here at Dallas Life. And we love you, and you have a great day, and we're going to start serving in just a minute. So pray for us and be thinking about us. Here, back to Minister Lewis.
God bless you. Thank you. That concludes our portion of this show. Thank you very much. You too can go back and listen to this show in entirety. We had a very special edition. We was on for an hour and a half. We started at 9 to the 10:30 hour. And I like to always be timely. So if I say at a certain time, it's going to be at that time. We're a couple of minutes over, but it's a good thing. We want to make mention of our co-host and announcer, Brother Richard Daniel, our regular listeners. We pray that we didn't throw you out. But we too can go back and enjoy this time here at Dallas Life, and we truly had a blessed time. Help change your life. What can you do to help change your life? I don't know. Search your heart. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Some of us have come a mighty long way with our finances. Now, our finances have been restored so we're able to do some of the things we had to do. Maybe you can teach someone else about how to manage their money. Some of us had addiction problems, personality problems, but yet we are able to manage those things and to overcome those things. You too can encourage someone else to be strong in the Lord. So what can you do to help change your life in Jesus' name? Amen. And so, again, thank you once again. Thank all the volunteers from Victory Outreach. Brother Tim and his family, thank you for those silent supporters. And then Dave, Bunny, you know who you are. And I'm going to let you come and just say that, okay? We don't want to put you on the spot. But thank you. We never could do this here without you. I'm saying that I'm talking about just coming down here because your prayers and your amen and your dad and boy allows us to keep going. But guess what? It was God that started this. So thank you for hearing the voice of God, having the heart of a servant to support what this ministry is doing. And guess what? God is no respecter of person. What he done for one, he'll do for another. As we get ready to close out this portion of our show, we will never, ever leave you without having a word of prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for what you're doing here at Dallas Life. How Dallas Life, dear Lord, have been setting up men and women's lives back in line with the word of God. We thank you for the different programs that's here at Dallas Life. They are spiritual programs, dear Lord. We got a drug recovery program, and they study the principles of God. We have a job placement, dear Lord, to let know that every man desires to take care of himself and his family. We have literacy classes, dear Lord, where men and women may have missed the opportunity to learn to read and write. Those things are being brought back to their remembrance, dear Lord, and they have been made better people because of that. We ask you, dear Lord, to continue to keep your hand on the Dallas Life and the director and the group leaders and for the men and women and security and all those things, Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for the volunteers. We thank you for the ones that came out from Victory Island. We thank you for the ones from Shady Grove Baptist Church. We thank you for the ones that just had a desire to come out and see what does say to the Lord. Dear Lord, thank you. As we get ready for prayer lunch, we pray that this meal be a blessing to the residents, that your word continues to feed authentic soul, that we pray that some lives being changed. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. We pray this thing in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
And you've been listening to another great episode of Free on the Inside here with your host, Minister Lewis. And we're looking forward to you being back next week. Looking forward for you being a part of what God is doing. Because our God, our Lord, our Savior, he's up to something. And so as we get ready to wind down this program, again, thank you very much for being a part of what we're doing. Thank you for showing yourself mighty, for being a part of what God is doing. We pray these things in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
You think you're about